Here is Brandon Peoples.
Well, Dave, we'd like to update our listeners here on what's going on in Topeka every Friday morning. We try to speak with a different legislator each week, and this week it's 51st District Representative Ron Hyland of Wamego who joins us by phone. Good morning, Mr. Hyland.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you on once again. I know it's a busy time in Topeka as we're getting through the nitty-gritty part of the session. Final week of debates going on. What's this week been like for you?
Well, back in the old days in college, we called it Hell Week, the week before finals and in the finals. But it's the week where all the bills that the folks that want them passed have lobbied and got them through the system, and they're listed above the line. So we deal with all those, we debate them on the floor and pass them out, or we vote them down at that point. And then they pass them back over to the Senate. There's also, at the same time, there are some bills that both the House and the Senate agree on, and we will just do a concur, and that bill then goes on to the governor at that point. But basically, it's a week where we're finishing up all the bills of what is considered to be of some importance to finish the session. And then next week, that's when the conference committees meet.
All right. Well, I know the one bill that was signed recently kind of, I think, makes the process a little smoother here with when the governor issues any executive orders, and that was Senate Bill 40. That was passed last week, and it came into play here yesterday, as we saw with the executive orders that were handed down. One of them revoked by the Legislative Coordinating Council on a 5-2 vote, then that would be the statewide mask mandate.
Right, right. And that was a House bill originally, and we passed that out overwhelmingly. It's just an extension of the original bill that we had last year that carried us through the pandemic, and we just updated that. In fact, there was a lot of updating going on. We actually went into the emergency management law and changed some terms in there and to where it's more workable for both the governor and the legislature. We allow the LCC to deal with it if we're not in session. If we are in session, then the entire legislature will deal with it. I still have a little heartburn over that. I did vote for it. I think we should have more people involved than that, but you don't always get your way down there. You go with the most.
Right. Yeah, majority rules. That's usually how that works. And
yep.
But I will say it is interesting. You know, not everyone's going to agree with the checks and balances here maybe that are going on with the governor on one side and the legislature on the other. But we'll say that it is good to see that, you know, at least something gets issued and then either it gets revoked or approved right away instead of having to wait a few days. And, you know, I think it puts a little less burden on the counties this way.
Right. And, you know, we've gotten to this situation where the counties and the cities would rather not make some of these decisions. And we have essentially forced it back on them to make those decisions. They know their locality. They know their people better than any of us do. So they should be making those decisions based on, you know, the advice from their health authorities and those kind of things. But it's time that they step up. That's their job. So let them do it.
All right. Very good. Well, a lot's going on. It's kind of hard to keep up with everything because there are so many things, it seems like, getting approved each day. And I might just have you kind of, if you want to tell us a few things that you've seen this week that you were happy to see pass.
Well, happy may be a misnomer, but we passed SB 50, which was the tax bill. And within that tax bill, we decoupled from the Fed, from their IRS system. In that, you no longer will have to itemize on the federal form if you want to itemize on your Kansas tax form. So you can do it whether or not you did on the federal or not. We also increased the standard deductions, and that will help a lot of people in our state. So that one I did vote for. I'm proud of that. I have a feeling there's about a 50-50 chance that she will veto that bill, and then we'll get to deal with it when we go back. The big one, the big budget bill, House Bill 2397. I normally do not vote for a budget bill because they are already overextending. I did vote for it this year because while we were on the floor debating, as it turns out, a Democrat, good friend of mine, he came down and said, you put more money in here than we have. We don't have this kind of money to support this. So he proposed a 2% across the board cut in everybody's budget. And that will save about $170 million. And so I did vote for that. Now, the budget bill, the governor has line item veto, so she can go in and line item some of the items out of there. And she may do that with the 2%. We'll see. And then whether or not the House and the Senate agrees to try to override the veto, that will have to be seen. Another bill which was interesting to me, and I didn't know this law existed, but there is a law in the books that you cannot pass on the charges that credit card companies charge you if you're a business. You cannot pass those on to the customer. So we did away with that law. Now, the universities had the ability to pass it on, and they do that. But it was argued very thoroughly, but we did pass that law, and so now it can be passed on, and everybody will know it. So if you use a credit card versus cash, you will know that you're going to be paid a little bit more. The other thing going on, which is under the radar, is my water committee. We are through with phase one, where we invited in all 16 agencies or offices to give us an update on what they do, how they do it, how much they have, how much money they have, and so forth. And then also we had the five federal agencies come in and explain to us how they deal with water. So it's been interesting. What we learned is that Western Kansas has a problem, but they're dealing with it, with the aquifer. But this end of the state, we all need to wake up. We are in as much trouble as they are. So we need to share that information with folks and get everybody aware of the water and how critical it is for not only currently, but for our future. And that pretty much wraps up the week.
And we get into conference committees next week. And this is kind of where either a bill goes through or it doesn't go through. Is that right?
That's exactly right. If it conference committee comes out and said this is the best deal we can offer, this is where we both agree that this is the best we can do, and then the entire body, both the House and the Senate, gets the final up or down vote. If it's down, it dies and it'll never come back.
One thing we've been kind of keeping an eye on closely here in Riley County, I know Pottawatomie County's keeping an eye on it too, is dark store theory. And I don't know if that's going to get any debate here or not in the legislature. I imagine it's probably not going to get out of committee. But what do you see as the future of that, maybe here beyond this legislative session? Will we have maybe some change legislation regarding how that works?
Well, yes, it was mentioned in our tax committee, but we did not deal with it this year. There are people studying that issue very carefully. I know that in Johnson County they've had lawsuits and I think Riley County just had a judgment also. But it's something that we do as a state need to look at very carefully. And I don't know where it's going to go, but I think even at some point, I have not talked to the chair yet, but at some point there may be an interim committee to study that entire issue in depth, which is what it will take. And so it's difficult to understand, number one. And it will be difficult to legislate to make it fair and equitable to everybody.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It is very difficult to understand and very difficult to explain to a lot of people as well. But it's an important issue, and we're going to get some more information on that from our Riley County folks here later this morning. As far as you mentioned the budget, what is the... Any discussions on how the education budget's going to look for K through 12 here coming up? I know that's kind of a...
Oh, that one. I forgot about that bill. 2119. We did pass that out of the House. It has not passed the Senate yet. That bill, it puts the money in exactly as prescribed by the state Supreme Court. So there was no cut in any budget. There was money added and some wording changes to how that money will be used for the special needs and the at-risk folks in our school system. But overall, it's a good bill. There's no cut in education. The part that is controversial for a lot of people is the part where we have the ESE, the Education Saving Account, with the treasurer. They claim that it's public money going to private schools. It's taxpayer money. It's not public money. And the taxpayers, all of them I visit with, are to the point where they say, you know, there are some children that just cannot make it in a regular public system. We need a way for them to get educated. And that's what the bill does. It's very restrictive. Not many folks are going to be able to take advantage of it, but it's in there. And for that reason alone, many, many people oppose it.
Yeah, and I can see both sides of that issue, and that's certainly an interesting one to keep an eye on. Well, Representative Highland, we're about out of time here, but we always appreciate getting a chance to talk to you, and we wish you a happy Easter and a good rest of the session here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It was good talking to you as well.